The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
We welcome you back to another day, Afternoons with Mike, here on the Shepherd Radio Network. I have a real treat for us today. I've got the mayor of Apopka, Brian Nelson. Welcome to my program, sir.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Oh, this is such a delight to meet you. And even before we began today, finding out that you know some really dear friends of mine in Apopka, and you're a lifer there, right?
Correct. Born and raised in Apopka, yes.
Oh, that is always fun to do, because you said it right, Mayor. You have Apopka that, you know, it's big now. It's a lot larger than it was when you were growing up.
Right.
But it still has maintained that small town feel.
Yes, exactly. That's what I love about Apopka is, yeah, you know, as we've grown, we still, you know, when there's somebody in need, the Apopka community steps up and helps. You know, is when you get to big cities, it's a little harder for that to happen. But Apopka is still at that size where, you know, somebody down the street's got a real problem and needs some help. Apopka can step up and help that individual or that family, you know, get through their crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That generous heart of neighbors, loving neighbors, helping neighbors, that really goes along with everything that I've ever heard about that wonderful community.
Yes, yes, it is. It's couldn't pick anywhere else I'd ever want to live.
And one of my dear friends is Pat McGuffin and his wife Sheila. I've known them now for, oh my goodness, 25 years or something like that. And, you know, his dad was a stalwart in Apopka as well, working for the newspaper, managing that, I guess.
Correct. And they lived right across the street from me growing up. So that's, you know, back when Washington was a dirt road. So, yes.
Isn't that something?
Yes. Things have changed.
Yeah, things. And then come to find out, another mayor that really would be one of the most unusual mayors ever in any small city that I know of, just for the sheer amount of years that Mayor John Land was the mayor of Apopka, I find out you're a relative of his as well.
Yeah, he served 61 years as mayor, and I'll tell you, I served in the legislature for 8 years, and I tell you, one of my finest hours or the days I will never, ever, ever forget is the being on the House floor and honoring the tribute to Mayor John Land, the longest-serving mayor in Florida, and I would contend the longest-serving full-time mayor in the country.
I can't think of another mayor ever done that.
Yes. There's a part-time mayor in Texas that had the honor from a ceremonial mayor, not as an actively, you know, mayor running the city. But, that was a great honor for me to recognize him in front of the whole 120 House members and then Andy Gardner over in the Senate did the same thing. So, yeah, one of those memories you'll never forget.
So growing up there in Apopka, what was your life like? How did you come to know the Lord?
That was just a part of life. I mean, you know, we went to, you know, First Pres and, you know, that's the way it was. My brother Scott and myself, that was just part of every, you know, every Sunday and Wednesday nights, that was, you know, just what was expected and never thought anything different. And so it's always been a part of my life. And you know, those years, those growing up years as a part of the First Pres and Mayor Land, and Aunt Betty were a member of that church. So So it was a Roger Williams, another name you probably remember, was a member of that church. So yeah, it's got a lot of history there.
It's got a street named after him, huh?
Yes. And a high school football field. Yeah.
Well, that's something. I had heard the term foliage capital of the world, not just Florida, but you guys lay claim to that in Apopka in the whole wide world. And it is a beautiful area when it comes to plants.
Yeah, it's things have changed. A lot of the nurseries and we did a lot of, I also had a lot of citrus, and it's, you know, it's sad to see, you know, with the canker and the greening, you know, citrus and freezes kind of, is on the back burner, and nurseries are there's quite a few still surviving, but even that's not what it was, 25 years ago.
Yeah, it's all things do change, sadly, and with those changes come some unfortunate things. But the city has rebounded, and really has, in my mind anyway, has really grown a lot.
Yeah, we've done very well. It's and it's fun to be a part of. As I say, we've got a lot of open land, and we only have one chance to get it right, as far as new development. And so we're really taking a hard look at things and making sure that, as we grow Apopka, that we grow it in the right way. And so it's a challenge, but also an opportunity.
Now, as mayor, this is not your first run at serving in public office.
No, sir. I was served in the state legislature from 2006 to 2014, and then I served as a county commissioner from 14 to 18, and then mayor beginning in 18, and now up for re-election in March, so March 22.
Wow. So that's right around the corner.
Yes, sir. It is.
Yeah.
And
you're in the thick of it.
Yes. It's an interesting time. It's like you say, there's two things you have to do is it's doors and dollars, and love knocking on doors, raising money to run a campaign, not always that much fun, but love knocking on doors and talking to people and finding out what they like, what we could do to improve our city. But it's just, the greatest job in the world for me.
Hmm. Now, I know a lot of what you do with the city, with your responsibilities as the mayor, I want to talk about in our next segment, but I did want to jump in and find out a little bit about this rose business that you kind of grew up with.
Well, yeah, it was started by my grandfather, Olin Finley Nelson, then my dad, Earl Nelson, and my uncle, B.P. Nelson, took it over from there. And then I was a part of it with my cousin, Mark. And so I ran that for like 20 years, sold out to my cousin, Mark, and then moved on and started an insurance agency, which I still own today.
Okay. So you have that side business on too.
Well, I do and I don't. I my name is on the marquee, but my daughter and my wife, Debbie, are the ones that run the show at the insurance agency. But
it's pretty clear that your entire family history would have been entrepreneurial, right?
Yeah, we enjoy, being on, out there on our own and, making things happen and feel like we're a part of the community and a part of, what makes Apopka, Apopka. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That's really exciting to have that history, to have that going on, and to live in an area. Now, that's something, a lot of us move from part of the world to another part of the world, like what I've done. But when you have a history like what you've had all right there, there are some serious roots that you've been able to put down in that area.
Yeah. And it's like I say, it's always, it's neat when you meet somebody for the first time or something and, kind of give them kind of the quick history of Apopka and why it's so special to a lot of us. And then, then you get to meet the old timers that have been around, three or four generations as well. And so, trying to meld the two different populations in Apopka is always an opportunity, that we cherish.
What was it like for you to see all that was changing in Orlando with Disney when all of that was coming about? What was that like?
Wow. I was in, as I say, there's the BD and the, which is before Disney people, and which I am one of those. And
the AD after Disney.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes. Okay. And so, things that was kind of what put, the whole Central Florida area on the map and just watching what's, kind of mushroomed out from Disney, all of the different ancillary businesses that have sprung up because they have worked that Disney needs to perform, and that they're taking advantage of the obviously Disney and Universal and SeaWorld and all the other minor attractions around, and so it's just been a blessing that as I say, Orlando would be nothing. No offense to Lakeland, but we were we'd be Lakeland today if it weren't for Disney. That Disney kind of put us on the map and all the growth that's attributed to all the things that are part or apart from Disney.
I remember seeing a lot of postcards before Disney of Orlando, and they would have had things like the Bock Tower?
Yeah,
you know, that would have been one of the big attractions.
Yes,
and you think about climbing a tower over a bunch of citrus.
Yeah, Cypress Gardens, you know, was there for there, a lot of
that's
years.
That's right. Yeah.
Now that's, you know, that's Legoland, which is kind of it's a rebirth of you know what, you know, Cypress Gardens was, and very successful for, you know, the smaller kids like my grandkids.
It's, now, you know, I did not even know that Cypress Gardens was Legoland until this very moment.
Yeah.
That one I had not heard. Now, I went to Cypress Gardens years ago and was able, because I have some good friends that are professional water skiers, and we went down to watch what would have, I guess, been one of the last seasons of their wonderful shows that they used to do the lake out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was pretty amazing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
The tricks that they were able to do and all of that. So, yeah, there was a day that we didn't have any of these big theme parks around to kind of mark the area of Central Florida. But you've seen all of that change, and you've also seen traffic get a little heavier, huh?
Yes. You know, I-4 is, you know, as we, it, like I say, is it's never going to be complete. We just keep adding lanes and, you know, so... you know, as we start to look for alternative transportation, you know, I sit on a board called Metro Plan, which we look at the transportation needs for the greater Central Florida area. And so, you know, challenges with the cost for road construction, and are there better ways or more efficient ways to get people from A to B and back to A, you know, and we have to look at, you know, folks that maybe can't afford a car, or that's, you know, it's not something that they can do right now. And so how do you get those folks to and from work so they can earn a living? And and so that's, you know, it's a big, you know, it's kind of a chess game, as you're trying to figure out where to put the pieces and so that you get the most efficient use of our taxpayer dollars to get you the most movement around the Central Florida area.
Now, with a bus system like what Orlando has, obviously does not serve at all for Apopka, but is there any sharing off of that? Or?
Oh, no, we do. We get links, not, I mean, obviously not because we're not as big as, you know, downtown Orlando, but we do get we have bus routes in
Apopka.
You
do have them from the same system.
Correct.
Good.
Links, the link system. And then we've got Sunrail, which we don't really benefit from, but, you know, we're looking at maybe having a rail spur from Lake County through Apopka into Orlando. So you'd be able to seamlessly get from Tavares to the airport, which would take some pressure off 441 you know, going through Apopka. So we look at those alternatives as ways of moving people around for less money or less congestion. And so always looking for new opportunities.
Now, when I lived in the area, and I live now, even now, just a little bit south of Apopka, in the part of the city where I am. But back then, when I lived here some 19 years ago or so, the all of the changes that were going on in Lake Apopka was part of the news all the time. Mm. What's the update on all of the reclamation for that lake?
Well, let me go back and we talk about the history of Apopka. So my grandfather, who they lived in Isle of Palms, South Carolina, he would come to Apopka to fish on Lake Apopka back in the early 50s, even before I was born. And, you know, we had pictures of, you know, him on the lake with his, you know, big stringer of bass. And so,
big white bass.
So, you know, you fast forward and we're starting to see that progress. I mean, I got to go out with the Fish and Wildlife folks and release a million bass, little fingerling bass, onto Lake Apopka. And so they're now probably up to the size, almost catchable size of, you know, probably 12 inches to 14 inches. So, you know, the eelgrass, which is kind of a real barometer, bellwether plant for the quality of the water and how it's, you know, it's coming back, is starting to grow around the edges. And so that gives you, that leads to more minnows, which leads to more bass. And so it's really starting to look up. That, you know, the clarity of the water is getting much, much better. So we're making progress, but as, you know, as an elected official, you're always, you know, how fast can we get it done? And it's just one of those processes. It's just going to take another couple of decades to get it where it was. But every year you can see a difference. The water quality is getting better. The fish are getting bigger and fatter and more, you know, prolific. And so we're getting there. It's just, you know,
would it just be contaminants draining into the lake from businesses or whatever that really caused the problem to begin with?
Well, it was a lot of things, but quite honestly, the one of the biggest challenges we have now is just the organic matter. It's the suspended solids that are just floating, you know, within the water column, and so trying to get those out of there will make a, you know, huge difference. But, you know, we've also got the wildlife drive, which is on the St. John's Water Management property, which is just a great opportunity to get in your car, drive along the edge of Lake Apopka, and I mean, you see every kind of critter known to man. You can see an 8-foot alligator crawling across the road. You can see bald eagles. You can see all sorts of you know, over 150 species of birds on that 11-mile wildlife drive. So
big cats too,
right? Oh, yeah. They've got bobcats out there. So it's, if you ever get a chance, it's open on weekends and federal holidays. But we've also got bike trails now that hopefully within the next several years have a complete bike trail around Lake Apopka. So a 40-mile bike trail. So can you imagine that? Get on your mountain bike and make that trick around Lake Apopka. So
right now I can't imagine.
Yeah.
I need to be able to imagine it.
Yeah. So that's a great, you know, an opportunity, you know, both either, you know, if you want to drive it or bike it, great opportunities. And we have the city of Apopka have our own birding park there. So we're looking for upland, if you want to look for upland species, and it's parking for folks that want to go during the week when the wildlife drive is not open. You can walk out onto the North Shore, as they call it, and check out the birds and other critters along the route. So yeah, we're partnering with them along with, you know, the recent purchase, Apopka made of Camp Weewaw, which was the old YMCA camp. And even before that, it was a Boy Scout camp. So a 100-year-old camp we were able to purchase from the YMCA. And so we're hoping to have camps back up and running this summer, bringing in kids for a week at a time, teaching them about environmental things. We've got a big climbing wall. We've got an opportunity to do some zip lines and rope courses just some camaraderie there for folks that want to come in and see nature in a kind of a different way.
At those camps, is it safe again now to swim in that water?
We're right now looking to try to purchase another piece of property right around the corner that was an old nursery that, you know, if we could get that, you know, purchase and clean it up and it would help, as we say, you know, a slow process, but get the water back to real pristine. I mean, it's swimmable now, but we'd like to, you know, it could still use some additional improvements.
So for 20 years ago, big change in it right now, no doubt about it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So we're excited. Camp Weewaw is just one of those unique opportunities for kids to get out there. And we'll even during the school year, hope to have opportunities for school children to spend like just a Tuesday night out there.
Oh, great.
Fifth graders. Yeah.
Brian Nelson, mayor of Apopka, my guest today on the program. We'll be back with him in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. My guest today, the mayor of Apopka, a beautiful area of Orlando and beyond, north of Orlando and all around this gorgeous, humongous lake. Lake Apopka is one of those bodies of water, Mayor, that when you're standing, if you look in the right direction, it looks like you're looking at the ocean. I mean, it's big.
Yeah, it's the fourth largest lake in Florida. But if you took what was the North Shore, which, you know, was diked up in the 40s to grow food, it would be the second largest lake. And so we got a big dike on the north side of the lake, which keeps the old farmland from being, you know, a bigger Lake Apopka, but the birding activities there have just exploded. And so we want to keep it the way it is, you know, have that marshy area. It's over 20,000 acres where, you know, waiting birds like to come in and be a, you know, kind of hang out. It's just a great opportunity to see those birds along the wildlife drive
there. You know, every big body of water like that has kind of their own unique footprint from an ecosystem. And that's certainly true of Lake Apopka.
Yeah, it's a really unique lake, and we just, you know, we want it back to the way it was. We want to keep the birding. We want to, you know, we just want to increase the fisheries so that we've got where it now becomes a destination for bass tournaments, you know, mm-hmm. or just getting out there and catching a string of crappie, or as I call them, specks, mm-hmm. you know, on
speckled
the lake.
Perch.
Yeah. And so we're getting there, and, you know, it's a slow process, but, you know, I feel really good about, you know, the last 20 years, the amount of progress we've made toward making Lake Apopka the lake it once was.
You know, shows like Bill Dance and programs like that of the old, it seems like that would be a gold mine location.
Yes.
Because Central Florida, let's face it, we get to live here. It's beautiful. It's beautiful all year round, whether you're a fisherman or a golfer. Right. You get to do it all year round here, mm-hmm. unlike where I came from up in the Midwest, right. where you were just locked out because of cold and snow.
Yeah.
But down here, it's there. So you see the day where these commercial fishing programs might be back on Lake Apopka.
Yeah. And when I was the county commission there for like 3.5 years, one of the things that I did, we had a pot of money that we were able to kind of spend where we wanted. And because Apopka is making those big, you know, improvements, I put all the $4 million I had into one big project, which was to renovate the park there at Magnolia, called Magnolia Park, right mm-hmm, on Lake Apopka. Mm-hmm. It'll be a massive dock, so we'll be able to have, you know, fishing tournaments, or just be able to go out on the end of the dock and, you know, cast a line right out from the end of the dock. We got pavilions, we've got bathroom facilities. It's going to be an extra boat launching opportunity there, and it'll be kind of, if you want to go out on that mountain bike and do that loop around Lake Apopka, it'll be a great launching site for you to get on your bike and do that. So yeah, it's probably will be done, I would think, by maybe the third quarter of this year, that the Magnolia Park improvements.
So from a standpoint of recreational boating, it's already something that boaters are using and putting their boats out there on Apopka?
A little bit. I think, you know, as the lake continues to make progress, I think you'll see more boats out there just cruising around. But it's making, you know, some, you know, amazing improvements. And so I think you'll start to see more and more. And so that's, you got to have, you know, if you don't have a dock to launch them and a place to put the boats, you can't make that happen. And so we're hoping, also looking for some opportunities for a hotel and something, some nice restaurants right there on Lake Apopka that would really kind of add to the, you know, the ambiance of Lake Apopka and what it has to offer.
Mm. It sounds beautiful, all these plans. And I can't tell you how exciting it is for me, having been a former boater, not a boater now, but boy, I thought back in the day when I had my boat, when we lived here before, what a waste it was to have such a body of water that really people were not using and couldn't use.
Yeah, yes.
But now the day is coming.
You're right, absolutely.
And that's very exciting. You mentioned being on the county commission. Now, you were there for 4 years after serving, 8 years or so in state representative. Mm-hmm. Did you see ever this path happening for you before you did it? Or did you just find yourself doing these different roles?
Well, that's funny. It's you know, when I was at the University of Florida getting my degree.
Go Gators.
Go Gators, right. And met my wife, who's from Fort Myers, and she's a Navy brat, so moved around the country, you know, following her dad taking her with her. And, as we started to date, and I said, at one point I want to marry a girl from Apopka because I'd love to run, you know, follow in Uncle John Maryland's footsteps. And us. And so little did I know that she had already figured out, no, you're going to marry a girl from Fort Myers and we're going to have our family in Apopka. And yeah, you can still be mayor,
but it's going to be from Fort Myers.
It's a Fort Myers bride, not a Apopka bride.
Hilarious.
So yeah. So we always, you know, she always teases me about that. It's that she'd already made up her mind. And so, and it's worked out beautifully. Our daughter, Linda, and her husband, live in Apopka, and their two children. So two of our children, grandchildren in Apopka, and, my son and his wife live right here in College Park. So right around the corner. So within 20 minutes we can get to either of our kids and their spouses and grandkids, you know, houses. And so that's just, it's really nice to, you know, have, you know, so many people, you know, are jealous that we've got, you know, family this close. And my mother lives within, you know, 2 miles of my house. And mm-hmm. so we are a blessed family for sure for, you know, having everybody here close to us.
That is wonderful. I think that's a hilarious story to hear how your wife had, she goes, nah, that plan that you're talking about is not quite going to work out like that.
Yeah.
That is wonderful. When you were there with the county commissioner, as a county commissioner, what do you think has changed over these years? You've grown up now around politics, watching that happen. What is that like now to serve in those kind of roles?
You know, I think, you know, it's unfortunately politics is, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's the national or the state or the local level, things have gotten a lot more polarizing than I think necessary. I think, you know, we can disagree, but let's keep it civil. I think we've kind of lost some of that civil discourse.
I completely agree.
And so you kind of wonder, well, I think a lot of that, unfortunately, I think social media has not helped. I think as I have told people, you know, people have keyboard courage. They don't mind going on, you know, their computer and lashing out at you for something, but whatever the issue is, it's not passionate enough in their mind to come talk to you directly about the issue and try to resolve it if it can be resolved before you go to social media. And so, you know, you wish we could get back to the days where, you know, you could agree to disagree. And then, mm-hmm. as I said, you know, there's always the next issue. And so I, you know, it's a little, you know, it's not unnerving, but it's sad that we've come to that. But I,
you know, on that, you know, when you think about President Reagan, when he was in office, he would have regular conversations on TV programs, even with the Tip O'Neills of the day,
exactly. Yeah.
And people that would see things radically differently than what he did. And yet there was, even among the TV hosts of that day, there was this decision. I remember reading of Johnny Carson. You can not like him or like him, whichever, but one thing he did was he stayed as an entertainer without ever tipping his hand completely to make enemies on the other side.
Yeah, like Walter Cronkite, same way. You never knew whether he was a Republican or a Democrat. And so, yeah, I wish we could get back to those days that, you know, let's agree on the 70% or 80% of things that we can agree on. And then when we disagree, you know, you've got your position, I've got mine, and then we vote and with whichever side wins. But, you know, the winning side doesn't need to gloat about the win, and the losing mm-hmm. side doesn't need to hold a grudge. And it likens me back when I was a freshman in the legislature, and my wife, she would go up with me to session. She'd stay up there with me. And so one day there was a real contentious bill the next week. And so the lobbyists were lining up, trying to figure out, you know, how to get the vote, you know, and go in their direction. And so my wife comes to my office and she said, Brian, he said, you've got nobody out in the lobby waiting to see you, but the guy next to you has got a line of 40 people out, you know, out the back, you know, the back hallway. She goes, well, what is that all about? And I go, well, the lobbyists know what my position is. It's for it or against it. I don't even remember what the bill was. I said, but they know my position is solid. I'm not, and I've made up my mind. The guy next to me is, you know, the last person in might win the day and win the vote. So I said, you know, so I've got, you know, a strong set of, you know, principles and I wear them on my sleeve when it comes to a vote. But I don't hold it against somebody on the other side, and never thought that was the way you did things. And I was a chairman of insurance and banking, and so we had, you know, bills come to us all the time, and some obviously contentious bills every year. But what I would do is I would bring in Republicans on one day before the committee met, and we'd go over the bills and kind of lay out what the bill did and how it worked and what we were trying to accomplish with it. And then the same day or the next day, I would bring in the Democrats, give them the same information, and they go, well, why would you do that? And I said, well, it's not about Republican or Democrat. All I want is that you have the information, I'm not asking for your vote, but all I'm asking for is to be respectful of the process. Mm-hmm. And you get to the make your points in the committee meeting, you know, why this is a bad bill or it's a good bill. Take the vote and move on. I mean, there are procedural things that people can do to kind of play games with you. And I said, listen, I don't want games. I don't mind winning or I don't mind losing, but let's do this in a respectful way. And at the end of the day, when the vote's counted, we move on. And so, never had a problem as chairman of insurance and banking and ran that for 4 years. And there were a lot of contentious issues that we were facing, but mm-hmm. the Democrats knew that I was not going to hold. I was there to listen to their, you know, and if there was a bill that we could agree on or we could make something that would work, that didn't compromise my position, I was happy to help. And so I just wish we could get back to those days. And sometimes it seems like now compromise is an ugly word and it shouldn't be.
What are the hindrances to getting back to those days? Do you think there's a particular thing that if we could pull the hinge pin out of that hinge, that the door would come right off and we'd be able to get there?
I don't know. I think, you know, we have to be respectful of each other and we got to, you know, understand that people, they come from different, you know, positions in life and they've got a different perspective. And I don't have a problem with that. You know, you've got a different, you know, position on it and you see it from a different angle. And that's fine. You know, let's just not make it political. Let's make mm-hmm. it policy driven. And if our policies are different and because of our, you know, wherever we're coming from, that's fine. I mean, I want to, the next time we have a contentious bill, hopefully I'm on your side, you know? And so it's really gotten way too polarizing and we need to get back to some sort, you know, semblance of, you know, of decorum and be able to work together and see if we can't make things better for all of us.
Now on a national level, that might take a long time. On a state level, how do you see things going right now under Governor DeSantis?
DeSantis is doing a great job. I mean, I think, you know, obviously there's things that the other side would like to change or make to work differently. And so it's too bad we can't, you know, work the issues, work on what's really happening. What do we want to, you know, what are we trying to accomplish? You know, and sometimes there's two ways to skin the cat, as they say. Mm-hmm. And so which way maybe works best, which, you know, is one more, is it more cost effective? Is it get us there faster? Does it have better, you know, safeguards, you know, those kind of things. And so how do you get there? And so that's always the challenge. And, you know, if you just hope that you can work together to make those kind of changes that work for everybody.
I pray we get back to that. And those aren't changes that are really, you're talking about the human heart to a great degree here, aren't we? Because a lot of these things really just boil down to what people want and what people are willing to do and say to get.
Yeah. I mean, you've got your rights. You've got your principles that guide you. And obviously a lot of those are what got you elected, but you know, it still doesn't mean that you can't work across the aisle, work, you know, with people of different, you know, backgrounds and different, you know, persuasions that you can't, you know, work on issues together. Mm-hmm. And so it can be done, but it takes two to do it. And that's the, you know, that's, you know, and so I'm every attempt, I make every attempt to say, okay, can we figure out a way to make everybody happy? Now, as we always said in Tallahassee, if one person is happy, then you didn't do a very good job because you gotta, everybody needs to feel a little pain to get a little gain. And so you try to make those bills work with that everybody gets something out of it that they can take home and say, you know what, I wasn't exactly what I wanted, you know, but I got a half a loaf, didn't get a full loaf.
Mm-hmm. Looking back, do you enjoy the memories of serving in Tallahassee?
Yeah, we did some great things. I was, you know, one of my, I guess if I had to say what was, you know, as a chairman of insurance bank, one of the things that I did, which probably is above the pay grade of a lot of people, is we reduced the policy count for Citizens Insurance, which is the insurer of last resort, which at some point, if we ever have major storms, could come back to haunt all of us as mm-hmm. Floridians. And so we're able to have the lowest policy count that we've ever had. And so now it's starting to creep back up. And so hopefully they're going to come up with some solutions to get the that, which could be a very big, huge burden on all taxpayers. So, you know, that would probably be my, you know, if it was a swan song there in Tallahassee, that was probably it.
Last question before a break here would be all of the talk that is in the news, and we hear it nationally speaking. Florida is obviously one of those desirable spots to land right now. Texas and Florida often mentioned in the same breath because people in the big northern states or western states that are moving out of the heavily locked down kind of mindsets, they're coming down here. How is Apopka faring with all that?
Oh, we're busting at the seams. We've got a lot of industrial, a lot of commercial coming into Apopka. I was telling somebody that one third of all of our new property taxes are coming from industrial properties. So Apopka's, you know, is really growing extremely fast. And but what it does is take some of the tax burden off of our you know,
our
individuals,
residents.
Right, mm-hmm. residents. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to reduce the property tax rate just a little bit, but you know, with COVID and how it's impacted so many families, we thought it was important to show that, you know, we understand how this has impacted you, your family, your business, and how can we help, you know, you help yourself. And so we were able to reduce the taxes by a little bit and just to show that we feel your pain and understand what you're going through.
That's the right direction,
yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
My guest today is Mayor Brian Nelson from Apopka. We'll be back with him in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. What an honor it has been for me to have this man, Brian Nelson, on the program with me today. He's mayor of Apopka, and you know, you get to do a lot of things. You've done a lot of things already for the state. You've been for 8 years in the State House in Tallahassee. You served in the Orange County Commissioners, a board member there. And then 4 years ago, I guess now, close to you became the mayor of Apopka, and in your own words, a dream that you'd held for a long time, a goal fulfilled in your life. That's a promise kept right there,
there
my man. Maybe the first mayoral promise that you made, you kept by becoming mayor itself. When you look back now, what are some of the things, in addition to what we've already talked about, Lake Apopka and so forth, what are some of the things that really excite you about Apopka and about these next 4 years that you're looking to get back into if you do get elected again?
Yeah, well, you know, we're just talking about the Christian Ministerial Alliance, which puts on the National Day of Prayer there in Apopka. And it's probably the most attended National Day of Prayer in all of Central Florida. We'll have up to 500 people show up.
That is amazing.
Yeah, put on by our Christian Ministerial Alliance. And so all of the pastors across Apopka, and then we also have the South Apopka Ministerial Alliance, but they put on a fabulous event, you know, talking about, you know, our faith. What does our faith look like? And I tell you, it's one of the few communities where faith is still very, very important. And we've got so many great churches, you know, there in Apopka. So they all come together, which, you know, it's kind of like bringing different parties together. This is, you know, we got different faiths, but, you know, all of them coming together for one cause, which is a National Day of Prayer. And
so that's at the beginning of May then.
Correct.
When that happens, right?
Yes.
First
and,
Thursday in May.
Yes, sir. And so we just lost the gal who kind of was like our spiritual leader, which was Shirley Sharp Terrell, just passed away. And so we're going to honor her this year as the prayer breakfast comes up. But she would even... We had on the steps of City Hall at 12 noon, we would do an additional prayer service. We pray for all of our, we pray for military, for our political leaders, either local, state, or federal. We would pray for our clergy. We pray for, you know, anybody that you know, needed a prayer. And so it's always just been, you know, that's Apopka. That's what makes one of those things that makes Apopka special is that we take our faith and our religion seriously, and that we've got, you know, a very warm, welcoming religious community here in Apopka.
You know, they have to really appreciate that. As a former pastor, to have a strong group like that, to have a venue such as the National Day of Prayer, and I say venue more like a an event, because you do meet in a couple of different venues. I love that idea of praying from the steps of the courthouse. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So we, you know, we've always done that. And I, you know, what really kind of brought it home to me is when I was serving the legislature, I would go, we have the National Day of Prayer in the legislative session. And we had, I'll never forget, we had David Barton from, come down. And I'm still trying to get him. I said, listen, guys, I've asked the Christian ministerial, and I said, listen, pick a day. I said, just give him, say, our date is open. I said, guys, we got to get him here. So I keep pressing my, I don't think we can get him on the National Day of Prayer, but I think we could get him in October or, you know, August or whenever. I'd love to get him back down to Apopka and just, you know, when he just, you know, it still is right here in the, you know, in my brain that when he came and talked about the folks that had signed the Declaration of Independence and how they said it's secular and we don't, no. And he would click on somebody who'd signed it and he'd tell you what all they'd done from a religious background. And it was like, oh my gosh, it just blew me away. The people and what they'd accomplished, not only in their political lives as part of the, you know, this new country, the USA, but what they'd done from a, you know, a religious standpoint. And so,
and they weren't afraid of they weren't ashamed of it.
And so, that's my, one of the goals I want to have him here in Apopka. And I want to, you know, I want to have 600. I mean, I want to have people, you know, standing room only in the back to have, you know, to have him talk about, you know, what those revolutionaries were really all about.
I so respect your desire for that, sir. And I'm grateful for you because how cool would it be across America if our mayors like yourself of major cities, like what you are, if they were to take that hard and realize that part of the American heritage that we've had, part of what has made our exceptional nation exceptional, is the fact that we have been one nation under God who believed in the principles of the Judeo-Christian ethic. And we're not afraid. You know, this is this whole thing of separation of church and state has just gone to where it's more of a separation of God and America in their mind. That's what they want.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's interesting. I got a demand letter from some group that I was out before Christmas ringing bells for Salvation Army, and they called me out because I had my mayor shirt on that I was blending church and state again. And I would go, really? This is what this is coming down to. I'm out raising money for
the Salvation Army.
Yeah. You know,
but because it's a ministry.
Yeah. So, that's what this world's coming to, which is it's a sad state of affairs.
It really is. But, and yet at the same time, some of their threats, they get very personal.
Right. And I go back to then, I'm not asking you to come. I'm not asking you to put, you know, a dollar in the kettle, just, but I've got my rights as well as you've got your rights to, you know, if you want to go out there and picket that I'm doing it, fine. That's mm-hmm. your right. But let me exercise my own individual rights.
Yeah. You know, we had Matt Staver on last week from the Liberty Council. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the case that is now being really looked at by the Supreme Court, might even have a ruling on it this week for the Boston area, where a leader up there petitioned to have a flag on the public flagpole, and it was the Christian flag. And because they used the word Christian in their application, it was denied. Now, it could have been just any other religion. It could have been any other purpose, but because it had the name Christian, and it's just going along with what you said, you have to ask, what have we come to in this country?
Right. Well, yeah. Religion was a part, you know, a big part of our lives. And what they're trying to do is separate that from, you know, an individual. And
it's trying to kill it, trying to take it out of existence.
Yeah.
But I am so very grateful, and I can't imagine a single one of our listeners not being thrilled out the window because of just hearing a person like yourself who has a robust love for not only the Pastoral Association, but a desire to see it grow.
Yes.
And that's not every day. I've been doing this show for a couple of years, and I don't hear that every day, and that's really very encouraging.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's a great group, and love being a part of their, you know, I get invited to come out, and we'll, you know, kind of chat about, you know, what we see coming, and they do a great job and a great service, you know, bringing a bunch of pastors together at you know, to break bread together is not it. That's tough as well, but they do it. They, you know, it's all for, you know, the greater Apopka community that we can get together.
Well, you have a lot of big events that are happening year round up in Apopka. And if you were to put your sales hat on for people who are listening right now, up in Gainesville and our station there, or Ocala, who may not be as familiar as all of us in Orlando would be about Apopka. What are some of the things in the calendar year that just really excite you about Apopka?
Well, obviously Art and Foliage Festival, the last full weekend in April. So I think it's 23rd and the 24th. Without a doubt, it's one of our number one signature events. Probably two might be that we have on the day of our, we have the Christmas parade, which is the second Saturday in December. But that night we have the Orlando Philharmonic give us a symphony. So that's pretty good. 4th of July is always a big deal. We do a concert, and then obviously fireworks, you know, at 9 o'clock. So that would probably be in the top, you know, three. Yeah, we just, so many great things. You could spend a day or spend a week and get a lot of things, a lot of opportunities there for somebody to visit Apopka.
Well, it's a wonderful place to visit. Awesome. And it's just a great, like you said, a small town feel in what is becoming a very big area. And with the improvements, I know with 429 really connecting Apopka to all of the South, because you just have that great road right there that everybody uses. Yeah. They jump off the interstate or off the turnpike, rather, and there it is. And you're up there before you know it.
Yes.
It's a really wonderful thing.
Yes.
When you look over now, looking up on your next 30 days, as a mayor, what are you going to be busy with?
Well, we're about ready to start our new budget year. So we're starting to look at what things we need to start prioritizing. You know, there's always limited funds, and just trying to make sure that you're spending the dollars, as I say, not like you would spend, but like you would spend your mother's money, because, you know, it's precious dollars. And I mean, we can look and figure out what's priorities for the community. And so that's always, you know, getting into spring is when we start to work on those budgets and making sure we've got the right people in the right spots, and we need additional people and additional equipment or additional buildings. And so, you know, it's that time of year.
Well, we thank you for carving out the time
absolutely
to come here and talk to me today. Yeah. This really means a lot. And we've enjoyed this visit with you. Brian Nelson, the mayor of Apopka, my guest today. It really does, again, encourage us to see that there's a man who has not only passion for God, but a desire to see other churches, other ministries be strengthened and grow together, all to form a wonderful community of residents that make up Central Florida. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
It's great. And friends, we'll see you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.